Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 61 of everyone's favourite self-help podcast. It's the wonderfully titled Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and Sean Orford.
Hello, Edward. How are you?
Good, yeah. How's Trix?
I'm good.
Another good week on planet Earth. The weather's gorgeous at the moment.
It's amazing, isn't it?
You're not one of these guys that says, oh, it's too hot, I don't like it.
No, that's the magic of being British. It's always too hot, too wet, too cold, too windy, too dry. It's always the same.
It's always too much of something. We just can't get enough of all this good stuff, can we?
It's what can we moan about today?
Well, this week we are talking, ladies and gentlemen, about giving and receiving and the wonderful balance that can be struck between the two. Before that, I will just tell you all that we have a website, of course, liveinthepresent.co.uk. Head over there to get loads of cool stuff. First of all, the show notes and links to all the bits and bobs we're going to talk about and all previous episodes, all 60 episodes that have gone by. Can you believe it? And also, if you put your email address in the boxes on the website, you will receive some wonderful things for absolutely no charge: meditation files, free ebooks, many other things of which I can't remember that I made that long ago. But they've got to be good. Yeah, give us your email. Get some cool stuff. How about that?
That sounds pretty good. It's a good sales pitch.
What have you been up to, Sean?
I've been converting the main attic as a studio.
It's coming on, folks. Yeah, it's coming on.
It's been hard work. Thank you, Robert, for all your help. It's been really good.
What a son's for, eh? Can't wait till my little lad is of an age where he can do some useful things around the house.
Get up in the attic, Robert, and do some more.
Yeah.
And that's good. Yeah, so that it won't be long, we will be in there recording this very podcast.
Mm. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably won't even notice the sound quality, although we are recording straight into the laptop because our microphone is a bit out of action.
Yeah, it's a bit unhappy at the moment.
But rather than wait to get a new one and just put the show on hold, just get it done, eh?
But get it done, yeah.
The sound,
and
will
the
do.
Mic's not bad on this thing.
It's actually not too shabby, really.
It's good. Good stuff.
Yeah, we're recording this one in advance, so by the time this goes out, I will have done my cycle ride across the Highlands of Scotland. So my legs may not be working anymore. So to my future self, I would like to say, good luck, Ed. Enjoy the view.
Well, you have to come in a pair of shorts next time, and we'll count the bites on your legs.
Yeah, and look at the size of my enormous thighs bursting out.
You had to crack nuts with your
thighs. I only mentioned it last week for the first time, really, but yeah, I've done this big cycle ride from Glencoe, Fort William, across to Aberdeen via the mountains, you know, on dirt tracks and what have you. Head over to justgiving.com/edlam. for more information, and to sponsor me if you wish. It's for a local charity of ours. I'm going to do a write-up, of course, of how it's all been in photos and all that stuff.
But what you're talking about is very relevant to what we're talking about this week, isn't it? Because you are giving your time to do something,
mm-hmm.
And hopefully you will enjoy it, so you will receive something from it.
Yep.
Yeah. You know? But also
physical benefits.
Yeah, physical benefits, emotional benefits. Yeah, you'll increase your friendship with the person you're cycling with.
Yep.
Without your Achilles.
Assuming we haven't. Gone on separate ways.
The people that choose to sponsor you are choosing to give.
Yeah.
Which means that the charity is able to receive,
mm-hmm.
Which enables them to give to the people that they're looking after. Which allows them to receive, which allows them then to give to the people around them. It flows on.
This is what makes the world go round.
It's amazing. It's good.
Well, we've already begun. I should just mention quickly, there will be a blog post on the website to accompany this podcast. Yep. So head over again, liveinthepresent.co.uk, to read about that at your leisure.
Yeah.
Maybe you've already read it. I don't know. That's something that Sean gives each week.
I do.
And you wonderful listeners receive and share the knowledge with your friends and family, I hope.
Yeah, it for me, it's the whole issue about if we all give, everybody receives.
Yeah.
Yeah. If nobody gives, they expect to get, then no one gets anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a bit of the law of attraction in play here.
Yeah, very much. Law of attraction in action, isn't it? Is that if I want something to happen, you know, that idea about be the change that you want to see.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want people to give you things, then give them things.
What's that JFK quote, hey man,
It's John Kennedy in Germany, in Berlin, after the Second World War, and Germany's been flattened by the Allies and they're trying to rebuild. And he's being positive and he's saying, okay, come on, guys, don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country and then you will rebuild it. And that's true for any group, isn't it? If you're in a family, if you're wherever you work, if everybody's giving and trying to do the best they can, everybody benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you've got the takers who want to do the least, want to be minimalists, then no one's needs are met.
There's a lot of this, I mean, there probably always has and always will be in society at the moment in terms of that rich 1%, those evil 1%ers that seemingly just take. It's more complicated than that, I'm sure. And when you meet these people who are sucking up huge amounts of money that they don't really need, probably really nice guys and girls.
It depends. I think that there are many people who are very rich and they use, well, relative to other people, but I mean, they use their wealth to help other people.
Yeah.
It's certainly true. If you look at the amount of money that Bill Gates throws at AIDS,
yes,
you know, that's a phenomenal amount of
he's
money.
He's planning on getting rid of his entire fortune by the time he dies, and he's realised there's no point being the richest man in the graveyard, eh?
Yeah, yeah, and that's right. But also, I do come across people who do have vast amounts of money who are very mean and quite nasty, and they got their money in bad ways.
Yeah,
And maybe they run organisations that are very uncaring. And they've exploited people to get their wealth. I do.
Ebenezer like Scrooge, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking, hey, classic tale.
Yeah, with knobs on. Lots of dosh.
Yeah.
But not nice. Not
do you
nice,
work, yeah. So you work with some of these people sometimes and do you encourage them to. I mean, you can't say, oh, give us. Well, you obviously invoice them, so you ask for a bit of dosh.
Yeah. It depends, doesn't it? Because sometimes people will say to me, can you do this for me? Which might mean they want me to go into their organisation and do something. And I might say, no, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because one of the things for me is that I give my time. I give my time, I give my knowledge, I give my experience. And people give me something in return. Now, sometimes that is money, sometimes it isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the way I see it is that if somebody is going to pay me a good dollar per cash for doing something, that gives me the ability to give my time to other people who don't have money for less cash, or maybe in some cases for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if the people that had the dosh didn't give it to me, I wouldn't be able to see the other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so in them giving me the money for me giving them my time and experience, they're also giving to other people, so other people can have time and experience as well.
Yeah.
And which is, again, it's the ripples and the pond effect.
Mm-hmm.
That if we all start giving, everybody gets looked after.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people need to give according to their means, which is why the biblical model was always that you should give 10% of your net income to charity.
Yep.
Which means that you've either got 10% of a lot or 10% of not too much, but it's still
10%. 10% net or gross net, is it?
Net, yeah.
Okay, just thinking, yeah. So yeah. Once all the mortgage is paid and all that stuff.
Yeah, so what you've got left.
I'm left with like 10 quid a month, so a pound, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, then that's okay, yeah. Yeah, and then the other pound you should stick on the lotto because you never know, you might win. Because I think of that if I buy a lottery ticket.
Is it £2 now for the lottery?
Yes, but yeah, just £2 for the lottery. It's not the last time I bought a ticket. My thing is if I buy a lottery ticket, what I'm doing is I'm contributing to someone else going, woo, and jumping around because they just won the lotto.
Mm-hmm.
I do realise that the chances of me personally winning the lotto are relatively low. But I know that someone's going to do it. And I get a kind of a kick out of the idea that when I buy a lotto ticket, someone's going to be jumping around going, ooh, wow, wow.
And a lot of that money does go to really good causes
as
well.
Yeah, it goes round.
It goes somewhere. Who knows where? They say it does.
I do come across projects that are funded by lotto money.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the idea of, do I give unconditionally or do I give conditionally? You know, do I want something back for what I'm giving? And it's easier when we can give unconditionally, if that's actually possible.
Mm.
You know, when I give you a gift, you know, I don't want you to go, it was a load of crap, this, you can keep this.
Like I did last year.
Yeah, like last year, yeah. I'm not doing that again. or I want you at least to go, oh, you know, thank you for that. You know, that's no thank you, that's thought.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's important for me, is that when people give me things, is I'm trying to look at the feeling behind what the gift is.
You're always trying to analyse things, aren't you? You're always over-analysing. Yeah, no, I know what you mean, though, because I do it Well, when you buy a present for someone, typically Christmas or a birthday, I try and put some, you know, real thought in. And when I receive a present that I know hasn't had that much thought put into it, well, it affects how you receive it. I'll still be polite, you know, flip a neck. I'm not going to, like, lash it back at them.
The lowest common denominator on the gift scene for me is when someone gives you money. Okay, you may have asked for money and you need it, but I mean, generally, if people give you money because they can't think of anything, or if they give you the gift voucher, which is usually for a shop that you don't want to go near, you know, that kind of thing. That's a real kind of paucity of imagination.
It's a bit of a cop out, do you think?
Yeah, for me it is. I love it when the kids make things. And you know, they've been at school and they've made a card or they've made something, and you get this thing that looks completely unlike what it's supposed to be, but they give it to you with love because they've made it. I love that. That's great.
Yeah,
that's
good. I like it when Beth, my wife, is a teacher, and she's just finished for school for some holes, and actually pretty much from maternity leave as well, actually. And yes, she obviously gets showered with gifts from the kids and the parents at the end of the year, which is cool. So she comes home with a boot full of bottles of wine and chocolates and all that.
Yeah, good.
Which is all cool, but the best ones are always there's a mum or a dad, because she's done a few of their kids, taught a few of their kids in successive years, and they make these homemade brownies, are the best taste, and they wrap them up beautifully in these little nice plastic, and they tie them up. Yeah. And she got two bags this year of, like, just the most gorgeous brownies, and in terms of cost, they won't have cost much to create. But the time that's been put in, and you can taste the love.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and with Nanny Pam and cakes, Ree's mum. I mean, she does the most amazing cakes, but they are an act of love, the giving.
Yep.
Of the cakes, you know, brilliant. I love it. I love all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I always try and make some kind of card for Ree. So it's always. I'm fascinated by paper sculpture, but I'll actually go out of my way to find things that I can make.
Yeah,
you know, so I shall be. Each time it comes up to something, I'm out thinking about ideas and checking out stuff on the internet and trying to find ways of bending a piece of paper or card to make it into whatever I want it to be.
I was trying to write a kind of witty or a longer message than "Dear whoever, happy birthday, love, Ed." I'll write a few lines, and I think that's me kind of giving a bit of time. Try and give them a reason not to chuck the card away, because I know what I'm like. You get a rack of cards at Christmas and birthdays. They're cool, you'll have them up for a bit, but then it's kind of, I've got to get rid of these now. But sometimes there'll be ones with a message in, and they're the ones that you're like, oh, I should keep all of this and just stick in a drawer somewhere.
Mm.
That's a little tip from me.
Mm.
The law of karma comes into all this stuff as well, surely, in terms of what you give out, you get back, and all that stuff.
Yeah, karma and dharma. The idea of what goes around comes around, they say around here, isn't it?
Yeah.
That if you're a nice person, then the chances are the nice things are going to come back at you. Whereas if you're a nasty person, in the end, everyone gets theirs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do see that quite a lot, where people have been not so good in life, and in the end it's come around and bitten them back.
Yeah.
You know, people that maybe have been horrible to others throughout life, and in their older age are alone,
mm-hmm.
alone and miserable, you know, and no one wants to know. Maybe their families rejected them, you know, the lot.
Blimey, that's not cool.
Which isn't good, no.
No, never too late though, eh?
No, it's never ever too late, yeah. And anyone that's listening to this, it's like, when giving doesn't necessarily mean that you give people money or things. Giving people your time, giving people your love is enough. You know, are there people around you that need your giving? You know, that is there a person on their own who lives near you who could really do with you making them a cup of tea or going around having a cup of tea with them?
Yeah.
You know, and just being with them, giving your time, giving of yourself.
Yeah, I know. I was out on my bike the other week. I had Will on the bar in front of me. We were just nipping to the shops down the road quickly. Highly illegal. Well, no, it's not legal, is it?
No.
Not wearing helmets or anything, but good fun. And there's a lady stopped us. She was an old lady, and turned out she's 94 in a house just down the road. She looked like she was looking for some help, so I stopped. And turned out she just wanted to know how to put a telly on Channel 3 for the afternoon.
She was out on the street asking people.
Just standing there, yeah. I went by my bike and stopped and went in. So I keep an eye out for her now when I'm in the area, just to see if she needs a hand. Because, she's 94, living on her own. She's got family that pop in and see her, but ended up hearing a life story. And in the end, I was like, I got to go now. love. yeah, it's trying to give back that way a little bit every now and again.
Yeah, I had an adopted granny for a while, Edna, who was in her 90s, dead now. She was in a situation where she had lost everybody. All her family had died. All her kids, husband, even a grandson had died. Mm. And she was on her own.
Yeah.
And I used to cook her meals. She said it wasn't meals on wheels. She used to call it meals on legs. So I'd come around with a meal for her and look after her.
Is this around the time when you were on Europe? We talked in the last episode.
No, it was when I was in relationship. But yeah. I'd worked with her daughter who died. And over the years of working with the daughter, who was terminal, I just got to know her very well and just realised that she was just completely on her own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to be 96 and on your own is not a good place to be.
No, not at all, man. No, we've talked about loneliness in the past and it's cropping up in news articles, I see.
Yeah.
People are starting to switch on to how big a deal it is.
But I think one of the sadnesses in our society is that we don't look after older people. You know, other societies are quite horrified by the way that we in the West, you know, we farm our old people out. You know, we send them to homes.
We outsource the care to care homes and stick them in a room.
Yeah. Or we leave them on their own somewhere and people come in twice a day and you know, keep them up.
Well, it's a learning process, isn't it? It's tough, but you and I will be there one day. You sooner than I, Sean, a lot sooner than
I. I don't know. Have you ever heard of Peter Pan? I'm going to change my name to Sean Pan.
I'll come visit you. I'll stick a meal under your door, knock and run off. Yeah.
I think that one of the things about giving, because over the years I've done quite a lot of elderly mentally ill work, and you have people that are Alzheimer's or demented, and the people that look after them come in two very clear categories. There are the people that have limitless patience, who with an older person will tolerate and work with. And there are the people who, I suppose it's a spectrum going down, but people who get less and less tolerant through to being quite cruel.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had several cases, haven't we, in Britain with people in nursing homes being pulled out and imprisoned.
Yeah.
Kind of,
totally.
But I think that idea of being able to give unconditionally with total patience and not expect anything in return is such a powerful place to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do get things in return. And I think the idea of unconditionality is theoretical. I don't think it's real. You know, in theory...
That's pretty deep, yeah.
Well, in theory, we're supposed to be unconditional, but we get things back from it, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, when someone says thank you, We're receiving your gift. You know, if someone says thank you to you, they're giving you something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and maybe that's all we want. You know, that we
it's
do
a little
that.
A shot of energy, thanks. Isn't it? That you can then.
Yeah, the worst thing you can do is to bust your guts to do something for somebody, and they're completely unappreciative of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's bad. Yeah, because being grateful is giving.
Yeah, well, the gratitude's a big part of. Well, I'm sure we've done a podcast somewhere way back about gratitude.
An attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes all the difference. But it makes difference to you because when you're grateful for things around, you're actually giving to yourself because you're feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving goodness to yourself. If you're feeling miserable and negative about the things around you, you're giving bad things to yourself.
Yeah.
What you feed grows, what you starve dies, always.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being happy and being giving is just so important.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a case of if everybody was prepared to give and look after everybody else, we would have heaven on earth right now. There's enough food for everybody, there's enough water for everybody, there's enough money for everybody, there's enough love for everybody, there's enough of everything. It's just that we are not used to the idea of giving. We're used to the idea of holding and being mean. You know, you can't have this, it's mine.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I don't know if this is the right time to mention it, maybe not. In terms of like giving to charity as well, I think, and there's amazing charities that do work all around the world, but I think there's an emphasis, and this has come on to this kind of my resource of the week as well, but when we choose a charity, when we have a challenge, some of the bigger charities out there are focused, you know, 2,000-3,000 miles away in the world, which need help, cool, yeah, but there's so much work just in our little neighbourhood that needs attention, and that's, you know, I did the bike ride for the World Sight of the Blind, a tiny little charity down the road from us who you know, just struggling and they need help. So I've chosen to help them rather than some charity way off, you know, thousands of miles away. And I think that idea of helping the neighbour, which is kind of a religious thing, isn't it? Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? If we all looked after the people, literally our neighbours actually, you know, like that old lady that lives next door to you, if you look after that person and vice versa, and it just, this chain reaction, isn't it, right round?
But that idea that charity begins at home is real. That home is actually me. It's inside myself.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that I have to be charitable towards myself to be able to give to others.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's no good me giving to others to my detriment. And I see a lot of women who maybe in middle life have spent their life giving to these other people. Maybe they've been giving to their partner, they've been giving to their kids, and maybe they've been giving to their in-laws, and then they're giving to their parents as well, that kind of thing. It's give, give, give. And they become the bottom of the list.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, they wear themselves out. So for me, the image of a woman in most families would be like the tent pole in the middle of the big top, and she's holding the whole thing up. And if she falls over, the whole thing falls down.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, the woman has a responsibility to the whole of the tent to look after herself. Because if she doesn't look after herself, she can't look after everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, charity has to begin with me. I have to feel good about me. I have to look after me. Okay, now I can look after you.
Yep.
Yeah? And that's really, really important. Not to give to the detriment of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I like the idea of looking around us and what is the charity that we can do. Yeah. I think that it is important that we look after other people in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part in that is when you hear of organisations giving a lot of money to another country and that money disappearing into arms sales and things like that. Yeah,
that's tricky reading that stuff. And it does frustrate me as well when, well, we've been through the recession, things seem to be doing better now, a bit more positivity, whether it's just the weather, I don't know. But the whole, when all these cuts were being made, there was a lot of movement in terms of, well, why are we giving all this money away to other countries? And for me, it was always quite a source of pride, actually, that we were still clinging on to this foreign aid stuff. I thought it was really, I think it is beautiful, actually. So I always kind of fought against that a little bit, because as a percentage of our GDP and all that, it's minuscule, but like we're giving to other nations in this case, and receive, you know, long term we will receive.
Well, one of the things that fascinates me about that idea of countries is that in the European Community there's been this attempt to make a more of a federal kind of Europe, that we're federated to the same thing, that idea, and it was set up badly, which has meant there's been kind of economic inequalities around that have shown up, the idea of one currency being quite difficult because it wasn't normalised before the currency was done.
Yep.
Yeah. But there's been a programme on TV, I don't know whether you saw it, about immigrants coming to Britain?
No, I didn't, but immigrants is on my little list to mention, darned immigrants coming and taking everything.
It's really interesting because the evidence was when they actually came down, what they did was they took a series of Brits who were pretty bigoted about immigrants coming in, and then they partnered them up with immigrants that they had problems with and got them to interact with each other and to actually see what they were doing.
Cool.
And there was one family that were a family of Filipinos who had come over and working in the health service, and both of them were care workers, doing an amazing job, both of them. And this guy was saying, you know, you're coming over and nicking our jobs. And actually what had happened was the British National Health Service had gone out recruiting. And I've seen that, where we've had waves of people from South Africa or India or Ireland,
yep,
or the Philippines, as people have we've gone out and recruited people to come and do these jobs.
Mm.
And when you look at the result of the programme was that when you look at what these immigrants that people are so negative about, have actually, what they actually contribute to the society, they were contributing more on all kinds of levels,
yep,
both financially and socially, than the people that were moaning about them being here.
I'm sure.
You know, and it is quite surprising. But if you look at any of us, I mean, I don't know what your ancestry is, but my lot, Irish, Negro, Chinese and Jewish. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and there's a bit of Britain thrown in there, but I mean, most of my relatives over generations came from other places, like most people in Britain.
Yeah.
We're all mongrels.
Exactly, man. No, there's just no argument to be had, really, in that kind of send the buggers back stuff. And
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was the funny thing about Lenny Henry, where someone shouted at him on the stage, you know, go back home. And he said, what, to Birmingham?
Yeah.
To Stirchley, that's what he said. Yeah, but I mean, the thing is that he is as British. He may have a black skin, but he's as British as you or I are.
Exactly. How far back do you want to go? We all come from that same seed, even if it's the burst of light that kind of created the universe.
Yeah.
You know, if you believe all that stuff, blimey.
But then if you look at it that way, and that we are all one, and we all need to give and look after each other, then we've got heaven on earth.
Hmm.
You know, there are too many places in the world where people are fighting. We've got it going on now.
Yep.
In the Middle East. You know, we've got the whole Israeli-Palestinian thing is going off again.
Yep.
Yeah, we've got the ISIS lot trying to set up an Islamic State with different bits of countries, you know, to form their own new country. You know, so, and it all creates this feeling of us and them rather than we are all working together.
I know.
You know, why aren't the Palestinians and the Jews working together to make an amazing state between them? They live in a beautiful part of the world with amazing resources. Why aren't they doing it together? Why are they fighting each other?
I know. Think of all the tourism they could capitalise on.
Yeah, yeah. Think of all the fruit they could grow.
Exactly. You know? No, I know, and it's cool. Yeah. And we're actually coming up to... We're getting very political here, but I think is it September 18th is when the vote, yes or no vote for Scotland is coming up.
Yeah.
That's a big decision, man. It's big for our part of the world, isn't it?
I think that the idea of the United Kingdom,
mm-hmm.
which is what we're supposed to be, but we're in a situation where Cornwall, as a shire of our country, has decided to create its own identity. So and it's been given that European status of being having a separate identity to the rest of Britain.
Yeah. It's weird. It's crazy. You already have that identity, you know. And it's how separated you want to go, you know. Do you want to divide the Merseyside between the Wirral and Liverpool, as many people want to, or... Do you want to be part of Cheshire or all that lark? How much do you want to just chop things up? It's a bit of a step back.
Well, I came, because I was born in London, there was a great difference between coming from the north or the south of the river. And the accent is actually different. When you're local to it, you can tell where someone comes from in London, the different bits. But and the idea is north better than the south, or south better than north, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a rivalry between the two.
I bet.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I love the work that you do with the blind charity, and you've done a lot of stuff for them, you know. And that must help them raise their profile as well as whatever it is that you give to them. I know you do graphic work for them as well.
I do, yeah. And I've, when I was setting up my business, I did build the odd bit bob here and there for them, but now I'm kind of, most of what I give to them is just, you know, no charge advice and work here and there. So.
Yeah.
That's me giving back a little bit.
Yeah. What do you think about the idea? Because it's quite a hot potato in some of the public sectors here, whether it's social services or health or whatever, where we get volunteers coming in. And those volunteers may be people that have retired and are just wanting to do something, so they come in and they volunteer their time. And some of the people that are around that are very resistant to the volunteers because they say you're taking someone's job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is it relevant for people to do things and not get paid for it if they're taking up the space of someone that if they did it would have got paid for it?
Guys like my dad as well who've retired and have time on their hands to give to organisations like that, go for it. Yeah, man. That's, I think it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a huge experience base in older people.
I mean, exactly.
They've lived a lot of life, and they have a lot to share, a lot to support. You know, it's a wasted resource because we don't receive it. You know, we reject it rather than giving people that kind of space in society, welcoming them in to it. You know? So, I mean, for me, we very often when we talk about giving, we're looking at money. You know, the beggar in the street, the guy selling the. The newspaper, what's the newspaper they sell around here?
Echo?
No.
World Globe?
No.
Oh, the
People that are homeless. What are they?
Oh, the big issue.
The big issue, that's it. Yeah. And I'm saying that I usually buy one when I see the guy. Can be quite interesting, actually, to read.
Yeah, no, there's some good articles in there.
But one of the things that's weird about those guys is very often they want you to give them the money and they want to hang on to the paper because they want to sell it again.
Yeah, you just take the money. Yeah, I've been on nights out here where it's like, yeah, just take the quid. I don't want a magazine. It's just going to... Yeah. It's not even going to make it home with me.
Yeah. But giving, you know, when today everyone that's listening to this can go and give to somebody, you know, who's around you who needs something.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if what you're giving is a smile. If you're giving a hand, you know, you're helping someone onto a bus, off a bus. You know,
yeah,
you
smile to someone in the street. Yeah. Yeah. Good chance they'll smile to the next person and all that stuff,
eh? Yeah. Spread the sunshine.
I've been a lot in the countryside of late, training and cycling and walking. Yeah, it's... Yeah, we've talked about this in the past. You'll always get much more of a morning and a hello and a smile in the countryside than you will walking through the city. Why is that? I don't know.
I think that people try and stay sane in cities by maintaining the illusion that they have space around them. A bit like rats in a cage. You know, if you get too many in there, they start fighting each other or they start trying to create their own space. You know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, not good.
Have we covered everything you'd
like
to
cover,
Sean? I think
we have.
A nice little ramble, that one, I think. Off the cuff a little bit.
So, I mean, you're going to be going off and doing your cycle ride from here.
Yes.
So good luck for that.
Thank you, Sean.
And I know that we've stuck some money in the hat, and anybody else that's listening...
It's very kind of you.
If you can, bung some dosh in, because it all goes to a good place. It helps people.
Well, my resource of the week, and you haven't got one on here, so you can think of one while I'm saying
it. No, I have one here. I'm up already.
Well, my resource is justgiving.com, and there are other... websites that help you raise money, but Just Giving is the one which has taken off big time, and it's a fantastic resource. Makes it really easy to choose your charity and set up a little mini website of your own for a challenge you may be doing. It might not be as grand as a half marathon that Sean's doing later in the year, or that I've just done or about to do. It might just be a sponsored walk or whatever. Yeah. But get on Just Giving, set up a page. It makes it really easy to send out emails to everyone on your list and to share it on Facebook and all that for you. You can even, as I did, set up a little text code so you can take it around and people can do that, you know, send this code to this mobile number and it will take £5 out of your mobile credit.
Yeah.
Super duper easy.
Yeah.
So justgiving.com, head over there and
it's good.
Give a little bit back.
My resource is, I've been shouting out WikiHow. A few times lately, and it is a really good resource, WikiHow. It gives you lots of things to think about, and the one that I'm kicking up here is how to give gifts unconditionally. And I think that it's a fascinating read, but it also looks at, for me, it's the idea of can we be unconditional?
Yeah.
And I don't know that we can. You know, even if the results are negative of what we're doing, there's something in it for us. There's some kind of condition that we get from it. I don't
know. But interesting, interesting. All right, whack the link up so I can share it with our legion of followers online. Yeah, go to liveinthepresent.co.uk to find links to all things we've just discussed. Find the blog post that Sean's written to accompany this podcast and to receive some cool freebies as well if you fancy it, some meditation files and what have you. Follow us online, Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. Follow me, actually, in the coming days and weeks. Well, by the time this goes out, I will probably have written a little write-up as to how my ride went. And, if you could leave us a review on iTunes as well, that would help us a lot, because we love reading them, don't we, Sean?
Yeah.
They're all the ways you can give.
Yeah, yeah. And well, that feedback is a gift. It is a gift. And I do really appreciate the comments that people make.
Yep.
You know, and many of those comments are in themselves a giving of gratitude for things that people have got out of what we're doing here. And that's good.
Okay. Next week we're going to talk about time. We had listener email us in about how they struggle with the lack of time on their hands, and I can relate to that big time. So we can talk a little bit how to
big time.
Big time. How to create more time. So I'm thinking about that, Sean.
That's good.
That's next week. Good. Time. Yep. In the meantime. Have a good time for the next week.
I will.
Sean, you have a good one.
I think we're timed out.
We're out of time. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.